Water is essential to life, but also agriculture, industry, and energy. It is the foundation of modern civilization. But ever-rising consumption and climate change have many worried there won't be enough to go around. Meanwhile, sea level rise and extreme weather threaten some areas with disaster. How can we avoid conflict and build peace? How can we ensure everyone has what they need to survive and thrive as we march toward a global population of more than 9 billion? You're listening to Friday Podcasts from the Wilson Center's Environmental Change and Security Program. In this special series, Water Stories, we interview experts and practitioners from around the world to hear how people are thinking about and addressing water security challenges. I'm Lauren Reese, and in today's episode, we'll hear from Rodolfo Camacho, Project Director at Windrock International, where he is the Chief of Party for USAID's Sustainable Water Partnership. Hi, Rodolfo. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
You've had a very long and diverse career in international development and worked across many sectors. I think I saw environment, energy, water, climate change, disaster risk reduction, food security, to name a few. Can you share with us a bit about your background and how you got to your current position as the Chief of Party for SWP?
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. And my father was a water engineer, so I came in contact and interest in water infrastructure projects when I was little. And this led to a degree in civil engineering and with major in water resources, followed up by master's and PhDs in water resources engineering. And, you know, my first job was around in this Washington, D.C. area was with the Potomac River Basin Commission.
Oh, really?
And at that time, I had to tackle issues with water quality and water resources. So early on my career, I was already working on water resources issues. And I got exposure to a lot of state-of-the-art data analytics and data collection systems that were necessary for the Potomac River Basin in the Chesapeake Bay.
Oh, that's great. And then how did you make the leap into international development?
So early on, that lasted for 5 years, my work with the Potomac River Basin Commission. And that led to an involvement into multiple projects on water resources management internationally when I joined another firm, an international firm. And the interesting thing was that over many, many years, as you mentioned, I work on infrastructure projects, feasibility studies for watershed management, water resources management, and climate change. But everything was always, there were always water there in all those projects. And last year, I saw the opportunity when the SWP project director came available, and I joined SWP a year ago and took the leadership of this project. And I really, really is in line with my specialty. So
that's great. We've had the good fortune of hearing from some of your colleagues in this series, including most recently Gordon Mumbo when he visited D.C. in the fall. But for the folks tuning in who might not be familiar with SWP, can you tell us a little bit about the Sustainable Water Partnership?
Yeah, the Sustainable Water Partnership is a global USAID program implemented by Windrock International, which provides technical services and program implementation to advance USAID global water security, thought leadership, and innovation. So when we talk about water security, we really talk about water needs for human health, such as through water supply, sanitation, and hygiene. We call it WASH. We talk about water to maintain ecosystems, water for productive economies, such as agriculture, energy, and industry. And also an important part of water security is to build resilience to water-related risks, such as floods and droughts. And for these water security needs, we will care about availability, access to water, and safe use. And that is important because we want to know how much water is available for different purposes. Where is the water? How can we access this water? And what is the quality of that water? I think that is important to understand the status of trends of this resource in terms of both quality and quantity. And really, you know, when we talk about data and water, we can think about four buckets. We like to understand how much surface water I have. That means what is the water flows and levels in the streams and lakes. Groundwater, we want to understand what are the water levels in our wells. Water quality, chemical and physical characteristics of the water in the streams, lakes, springs, wells, and other sites. And we also want to understand who is using the water for, so, and what quantities.
So with SWP engaging in data collection or accessing data and applying it to development programs, how is SWP using data in its water programs?
So in general, you know, when we talk about SWP, we had two field pilot projects in the one in the Mara River Basin mm-hmm. in Tanzania and Kenya, and the other one in Cambodia. And as an example, in the Mara River Basin, we're working in developing a water allocation plan for Tanzania. And that water allocation plan requires you to understand how much water is available, but at the same time, how much water is being extracted by different sources, by population, how much water is extracted by agriculture, how much water is extracted by for domestic uses, and more important is understand how much water is needed to maintain ecosystems.
Right.
So this is one of the areas where SWP applies data collection and analytics mm-hmm. to come up with water planning. And similarly in Cambodia, we're trying to understand issues about upstream and downstream. So what happened when, in particular with regards to water quality, when you have agricultural areas that where you have a lot of application of pesticides or we're not using best practices, and that has an effect downstream, especially for communities that use the river for fisheries, and
right.
and you get die-offs of fish, or you get contaminated water that you cannot use for water supply. So those are kind of two examples where SWP work on work with water data and analytics.
Have you found it, how has been the experience of collecting data in those two locations?
Well, and two things, and this is a problem in developing countries. And so data is always scarce, and you have to do the best you can to come up with estimates. However, when data is not available, there are techniques to extrapolate data. But at the same time, that doesn't stop you to do some decisions. Caveat with the fact that you identify what are the gaps, mm-hmm. and then you put a program to address those gaps. So you can revise your strategies or your water allocation plans as you move on to the future, you know. And that's kind of, you're going to find that in most developing countries where data is not available, or sometimes it's inconsistent, or you need more data to make specific decisions.
And what was the second point? I feel like, so there's the gaps in data.
Gaps in data, inconsistent data.
Okay.
And that sometimes happens. You have data and you
right.
analyze the data and you find inconsistencies. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have 5 rain gauge stations in nearby a city, and then you see that all of them show similar patterns, and so only one doesn't show the patterns like the other one show, and then you say there's something wrong with that station, etc. So that's an example.
So can you talk a little bit about where you've seen gaps in data availability in the Mara River Basin or Cambodia?
Yes, one of the important factors for water allocation planning is to understand how much water is flowing to the river. So we have sections in Tanzania, in the Mara River, where there is no gauging stations. There hasn't been any recording, or the stations that were there were not working for a long time. So this is a critical sample. And so we have to, what you do with gauging stations is that you understand what are the flows, and then you can calibrate models, rainfall runoff models. You can say, okay, for that quantity of flow, we know that the rainfall was this, so you can have that relationship. But if you don't have that measure stream flow, it's very difficult to calibrate these models, and then you have to do some extrapolations. And so in the Mara River Basin, we are working with the Tanzania government, and we need to upgrade your monitoring of river flows so we can have a better model and we can have a revised water allocation plan at one point.
And you mentioned you're working with the government to...
Yes, okay. Yes. We're working directly with the government. We're assisting the government in developing this water allocation planning, and we have also other partners that are helping us with the work. But that's one of our big recommendations, you know, to get better stream flow monitoring so we can have a better allocation plan.
Well, that's great. So how is decision making possible if there where and when there are gaps in data?
Well, I think just like I mentioned before, there's always data. I mean, sometimes there's no data. There's always data, and sometimes there are some global data sets that you could take advantage. Although the resolution of those global data sets are not sometimes are too coarse, and sometimes you're looking for solutions at a local level. But you can still do some extrapolations. Sometimes, for example, if I'm going to give you an example, somebody wants to build a micro hydro, a run of the river. That means that you pretty much take a little diversion of the river and generate electricity and return it. But you didn't have data on the flows. So while people are thinking about that project, I recommend, why don't you start measuring? Because it takes you a year or two to complete your feasibility study. In the meantime, the first day, just put a gauge in the station so you can understand the flows, and at least you have 1 or 2 years of data. Better than nothing. So sometimes there are quick things that you could do while you build your decision, or if it's an infrastructure project like a micro hydro, then you can at least take advantage of fresh new data rather than extrapolations.
So it seems to me that there's been a growing awareness of the importance of data and trends in recognizing data visualization as an asset to international development and increased water security. Can you, from your perspective, since you've been doing this for more than 30 years and recognized data early on in your career as a valuable asset, can you talk a little bit about recent developments in data analytics and how you see it changing and its application to international development?
Yeah, I mean, there is a concerted effort globally to standardize data and make global data sets available. Just to give you an example, there is an initiative called the GEO Global Water Sustainability, GEOGLOS. It's an initiative that comes from NASA, NOAA, USGS, this is the United States Geological Survey, USAID, in partnership with the Joint Research Center of the European Commission. Mm-hmm. So they have a global partnership to look at global data sets on water for sustainability. And they also developing new tools. And those tools will become very available. They have one of their framework. They have a component called Essential Water Variables, where they want to make sure that they can collect in a standard way data around the globe that could be put at the disposal of every country, and those will be accessible to anyone. It's interesting that out of these initiatives, for example, there is an ongoing project in the future, in the near future, and there are some array test cases. There's going to be a stream flow forecasting where you can go into the globe, into the tool, click on any stream in any place on any scale, and understand how much rain, how much flow is going to happen in the next 15 days. What's going to be the flow? When this is going to be very important for flow forecasting, for emergency preparedness, and it's using the best models for forecasting between the Europeans and Americans. And this is going to be a great tool for Africa and Latin America and Asia, you know. So they are working on that. And so those are kind of new advances. There are other tools that have been developed using taking advantage of global data sets, like there is the Aqueduct tool developed by the Water Resources, World Resources Institute, WRI. And in that, they are aggregating also data sets and put it in a visual way so you can understand what are the water's risks for your region. So those are kind of with existing data. Now, a little bit on the cutting edge after that is when people start talking about big data. And artificial intelligence, machine learning. And in reality, we are now working. We have an activity in Southern Africa. It's called Big Data Analytics and Transboundary Water Collaboration for Southern Africa. And this is an activity in partnership with the USAID, the Southern Africa Department of Science and Innovation, the Groundwater Management Institute in Southern Africa, and the Water Research Commission of Southern Africa, and IBM as a private sector partner. And the partnership through research teams is trying to look at data on water, on groundwater, because a lot of the groundwater, a lot of the water in Southern Africa comes from groundwater, and some of them is transboundary. So, yes, there is a lot of data sets, and that needs to be analyzed, needs to be kind of put in the same format. But the most important thing out of this exercise, I think, is not the, okay, we're going to analyze the data. No, but it's also the collaboration. The collaboration among countries sharing data, because one of the big challenges that we see is when sharing data across borders is the trust. And some country might think this is important, this is national security, and they don't want to release that data. But part of the work here is to figure out a way of making this arrangement so there is data that could be shared. Now, from the research part, the idea of big data is looking at large data sets and try to come up with relationships. Well, what happened? Okay, this is the data. If we put an algorithm here, this is the prediction, this, or we understand what affecting which variables affect which variables, and how can I best manage that? So this is something that we're working on, and we have as a partner IBM, and as we speak, we have a series of doing a series of crash courses on big data because we don't understand much about it.
Okay, yeah.
So IBM is giving us a little bit of. Understanding of machine learning, data analytics, blockchain, because they are into blockchain and in applications for water resources. So this is an interesting part that we are in. These courses are going to go there. The seminar series is every week from now until March. And
oh, that's great.
So it's an ongoing activity.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to interact with IBM on this as a partner.
Yeah, well, I hope you'll come back and share with us everything that you've learned.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's great. Okay, thank you so much for being with us today with Help.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to Friday Podcast from the Wilson Center. Thanks for tuning in. For more information, follow us on Twitter @NewSecurityBeat and visit newsecuritybeat.org.